Hello and welcome back to the Highway to Hoover podcast, a production of SEC Extra over at d1baseball.com. Today we're going to talk some Auburn baseball with Jason Caldwell of Inside the Auburn Tigers and auburnundercover.com. We will get to all of that in just a second, but first, I have to let you know that every Highway to Hoover podcast this season is brought to you by Brock's Gap Brewing Company in Hoover, Alabama. Head over to brocksgapbrewing.com for more information on their selection, their events, and everything they've got going on over there. Jason, I appreciate you joining us today. Coming off of a weekend, a series win for Auburn that I don't know about you. I mean, it's hard to call any first half of the season series win a must have, but to me, it felt a little bit like if Auburn's going to achieve some of the goals it has for its season this year, that almost felt to me like a series that it had to have. To what degree do you feel like that was the case?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's kind of one of those things, especially when you've got swept on the road at Arkansas to begin the year, then it puts extra pressure on those home series. They're always important. You always talk to baseball coaches in the Southeastern Conference, and they say, look, the ultimate goal is to win two at home, win that series, and then to take one on the road and then try to steal one somewhere along the way. You had to take that series at home knowing this league and what's left on the schedule. There's never an easy moment. There's never a series where you go, we take a deep breath this weekend. There's just no such thing. And so, yeah, you got to take advantage of those when you have them at your place.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, this is the league being what it is, even other power leagues, good baseball leagues, there's always that one or two weekends where you can kind of shift down into a lower gear, but not here for sure. How much of the success they had last weekend and kind of feeling like their things are coming together has to do with the fact that the lineup has just gotten a little bit healthier the last 10 days or so?
Yeah, it's been huge for them. You've basically been almost a month where you haven't been anywhere close to full strength. It started with Bobby Pierce having a little bit of a hamstring issue and kind of retweaked it a little bit, coming back in a DH role. And so getting him back even in a DH role last weekend was big. Tuesday night, he transitioned back to the outfield for the first time and looked good in left field. And so that's one big piece of it. You also had Cole Foster that was dealing with a little bit of a muscle thing too. His was like an abdomen issue. Played through it at Arkansas, but he wasn't full speed. Starting to kind of get back to that, his look a little bit as well at shortstop. And then Cooper McMurray is a guy they brought in from Kansas, is a big lefty first baseman. The guy that had started to show a little bit there and rolled his ankle over just on a routine play to first base, stepped on the bag wrong, rolled his ankle over, and was in a boot for about 3 weeks. And he was in a DH role a little bit last weekend, pinch hit role, excuse me, as well. And then he was back at first base Tuesday night. So now you start talking about that lineup with those guys, in addition to what Bryson Ware's done, Justin Kirby, the transfer, and then Ike Irish has been pretty remarkable as a true freshman. All of a sudden you look at having a guy like Cason Howell potentially in the seven hole as a guy that's a veteran. So it gives you some depth in a lineup. And honestly, that was missing with those injuries. And so I think it gives them a lot of confidence from an offensive standpoint, knowing that, and we've seen it in college baseball right now, you got to be able to score runs now to win games. It's hard to go out and pitch with the analytics and guys understanding what bats to use and all the balls flying. And so I think for them, you got to go score runs, and getting back offensively was a big deal.
Yeah. I've said a couple times already this season that if you're not a team that can really hit the ball out of the park or put up crooked numbers, like, you better really be able to pitch, because I mean, every other team's going to be hitting home runs and scoring runs in bunches. And it makes it so hard to claw your way back in if you're trying to be an action-oriented offense. And so there's some team, Kentucky plays that way. They play with a lot of movement and action on offense, and it's working because they really pitch, right? Yeah. So anyway, you mentioned Bryson Ware, and his numbers so far are incredible. From what you've talked to him or the coaching staff, I mean, what can you glean from what's behind his jump he's made this year?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. One of it, Butch Thompson always talks about stay in the fight, and I think he's a guy that, nowadays in college athletics, it's so easy for guys just to go leave and go somewhere else, going, I just haven't had my opportunity, I'll go somewhere else. I think Bryson Ware, first of all, he really loved it at Auburn, so he said, I want to stay and finish it here. But he also understood, hey, it's on me. I got to go make some improvements. And he's done a better job of just his approach at the plate and using the right side of the field a little bit. He was a always a Deadpool hitter, and he's hit some balls out to right field this season. I think the other thing for him too was he was a natural infielder. He was a junior college shortstop when Auburn signed him, came here 2 years ago when they transitioned him to the outfield. And so he's tried to play the outfield for a couple of years. Now he's back on the infield at third base. He's played a little bit second too. And I think it's just comfort. I think he feels comfortable back on the infield doing those things. I think all that's led to it, but I think it's also a guy, he's had 2 years of kind of learning, okay, what's my weakness? How do I improve that? How do I get better at it? And you're not going to turn it into a strength, but I think he's picked that up and he's made himself a really potent part of the middle of the order for Auburn now, a couple of weeks in SEC play.
You also mentioned Ike Irish there talking about the lineup, and you've seen a lot of Auburn baseball. Have you seen a freshman that's been as advanced as him offensively and come in and be this kind of productive right away?
No, I mean, I think the only guy to me from a freshman standpoint, there's been some guys that put up big numbers. You know, Stephen Williams had a big freshman year. Edward Julian did some things. There's been some of those guys, Ryan Bliss, you know, there's been some guys, but he probably maybe closely resembles Gabe Gross more than anybody for me. And even Gabe wasn't a guy that used the opposite field as much as Ike. Ike Irish is a guy that is very comfortable hitting the ball to left field as a left-handed hitter. He'll hit it where it's pitched. And that's the thing about him. You know, early in the season, I think people realized, hey, this guy's a power guy. And so they pitched him away a bunch and he went the other way and you know, led the nation, may still lead the nation in doubles. I don't know. But now people are starting going, okay, well, we've seen that. And they pitched him inside a little bit. You hit a home run Tuesday night to the pull side. He's had two home runs now in the last, I think, two of the last three games. And so power starting to show up over the fence. But, he's a guy that has gap power. And he's probably, I would guess, six or seven times this year hit an opposite field double that went off the wall in left field. And that's not normal for a freshman to have that kind of power. But so you combine that physical maturity with a guy that understands how to hit and understands how to use all fields, and you see what you got, which is a guy that, yeah, he's, you know, like I said, there hadn't been many of those guys like that, and he was day one in the three hole. That tells you the respect he'd earned from his coaches and teammates, and he hadn't moved other than to go to four. That's about it. He hadn't moved very far.
Yeah, one thing that people have noticed a little bit about him is that the traditional power, the over the fence power, wasn't necessarily there the first 6 weeks or whatever. And so I've had some people ask me, like, is he just kind of a slash hitter, or is he just a gap hitter? And I'm like, oh no, just wait, like give it some time.
it is absolutely there. And I think it's been more that he's willing to not try to be that guy. If he was that guy, he could probably have 10 or 12 home runs right now, but he might be hitting 305. Instead, he's like, you know what, I'd rather hit 415, have a bunch of doubles, and the home runs will come. They will. And you know, I thought before the year he was probably a guy that would have 10 or 12. He's now had two, and like I said, in the last three games, I think by the time we're done, he'll be a guy that has 10 or 12 home runs this season, but has a pile of doubles. And especially as you get healthy before and after him in this lineup, then that means he's going to get better pitches to see.
Switching to the mound, the big story on the mound, there's no way around it for Auburn this year, has been the missing piece, and that's Joseph Gonzalez. And now we know that more or less that the can has been kicked down the road another few weeks before any sort of reevaluation. And this is where I'll give the disclaimer that I'm just asking for Jason's opinion, who does not represent Auburn or the coaching staff or anything like that. In Jason Caldwell's opinion, how confident are you that we see Joseph Gonzalez at all this season?
Yeah, I think it's still a big question mark. I really do. I think they'd gotten to a point in Butch Thompson and Darren Schoenrock, who's the first year pitching coach, longtime head coach at Memphis, that they like, well, we can't keep doing this week after week. We got to figure out something. And so they brought in, Dr. James Andrews and checked him out. And there's no structural damage, none of those things. But Joseph just said it didn't feel right. And so they're like, look, we're not going to keep doing this. So they basically said, hey, look, we'll come back and look at this. And they gave a timeline of 5 or 6 weeks, and that was last week. So you're talking about probably, I would guess, another 3 weeks, then go back and do some flat ground throwing, see how it feels, and go from there. But, yeah, I mean, even then you're talking about just second half of the SEC schedule. And so how much could you get done if you come back and do those things? that's, I think if you're Auburn, you know, the probably best case scenario is you're talking about maybe the last 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season to get a guy back. And even then it's probably maybe 4 or 5 innings, which will be a bonus. But I don't know that right now. I don't know that you could say with any positive thought that, yeah, absolutely this is going to happen. I think it's still a very big question mark.
They're in a similar place at Ole Miss with Hunter Elliott, right? Where it's, yes, it's like I've been saying with them too. It's just you can't bank on, even if they come back, you can't just bank on them being the same guy right away. Like the reality is late enough in the year, you're just going to get what you get, and you got to just kind of be happy with what you get, right, if they return, because you know how it goes. It's there's a ramp up time and all that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, you're right. It's just, you know, getting some innings from him might be some icing on the cake, but it's not going to be the Joseph Gonzalez that was arguably the best guy on Team USA this past summer.
Correct. And a guy that, you know, for a while when Auburn, I think the projection was, hey, we're going to put him in game two and have a guy that protects our bullpen that throws on Friday and throws again on Sunday to give us, you know, 6 or 7 innings or maybe more. And yeah, you take that piece out of the equation, you're right. And it changes everything for a pitching staff. And we've seen that for this Auburn staff already.
What do you feel like you've learned about the pitching staff in Gonzalez's absence, obviously, because so many guys have had to try to step up into roles they might not necessarily be comfortable in right now?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's been adaptability. They've had to adapt to everything, because coming into the season, you look and Tommy Vail and Will Cannon were probably two guys that they thought were going to be in the Carson Skipper and Blake Burkhalter roles from last year, where you go maybe seventh inning, couple of innings, and then turn it over to the closer. That's what they thought those guys were going to be. Instead, Tommy Vail has had to transition to a starting role and done a pretty good job the first time through the order. Got to kind of figure out the fourth and fifth innings for him, but he's been strong out of the gate. And then Will Cannon, in two relief appearances, has thrown 7 2/3 innings out of the bullpen and has been stretched out some. I think we'll see more of him moving forward. So that traditional closer role now is trying to change because of everything that's happened. So they've had to adapt there up top, flip it around a little bit, because Zach Crotchfeldt's a talented freshman arm, lefty that I think is going to be a big piece of things for this team. Hasn't looked as comfortable in a starting role. Maybe you switch him a little bit more to bullpen. So they're having to adapt, adjust, move guys around, but that's just what you have to do, because, you know, unfortunately, part of baseball, and it's not just college baseball, it's Major League Baseball, and it's down to high school baseball now, injuries are going to occur on the mound. That's just part of life, and you have to be able to adapt, deal with it, and have some depth. And a little more challenging at Auburn maybe than it is for others, but you know, you just have to kind of put those pieces together.
It strikes me, and you can tell me because you would know better than I, but it kind of feels like this is something this coaching staff has maybe, or at least Butch, you know, new pitching coach with Coach Rock, but that they're comfortable doing a little bit, because it feels like they've been in this position before and had, you know, the Omaha team, you know, the two Omaha teams have had it, kind of, it has felt a little like, right, that, where it's like, you know, maybe you have one guy you really bank on, but outside of that, we're just gonna throw a bunch of stuff out there and see what happens. And I guess if nothing else, you know that this coaching staff has proven they can have success doing something like this.
Correct. And, you know, Butch talks about it too. And I think back to the Mississippi State team that made it to the national championship series. And the guy that threw the most innings for them was a lefty reliever that came and had the most wins for him. And so he's had to kind of do these things and kind of figure it out. And you're right. Even last year, you know, Joseph was a guy that had some of those outings, but, you know, Mason Barnett, Trace Bright, both had, you know, their share of issues where, you know, if you got 5 innings, you said, hey, we feel pretty good about that. So they had to kind of adapt and adjust. Yes, 2019, that team, you know, they had, you know, Bailey Horn and a couple of those guys out of the bullpen, Richard Fitz, that they kind of carried them through a regional in Georgia Tech and got them going a little bit to head to North Carolina. So, yeah, they've had to do these things in the past few years. Again, it's part of life in college baseball. When you have 11.7 and you don't have the lottery and you don't have those other things, you're not going to have 4 or 5, you know, number two starters to go along with a number one. That's just reality. So you have to kind of figure it out. And again, adaptability and versatility are really big keys in college pitching.
because you've had the history you have covering this program, I'm curious how you see the way the program has, things have changed around the program with a couple of College World Series trips. By that, I mean the way it's, the team is supported locally, by how full Plainsman Park is, you know, compared to what it used to be. How have you seen the program change a little bit now that it's tasted the success that it has?
Yeah, I think for a long time, you had a loyal group of Auburn baseball fans, but they were people that came on board in 1997, you know, when Auburn makes the College World Series, and or 94, and kind of through that run of Hal Baird. But there wasn't a lot of growth for the program from there on. You know, 2003, you hosted a regional. 2010, you win the SEC West. But other than that, there's a lot of lean years in between. And so I think what we've seen is you got a coach now that understands the importance of getting young people back in the ballpark. And so they've added, you know, an outfield area to get college students involved. And I think you see that more now. But success breeds it. You know, that old saying, if you build it, they will come. That's true in some respects, but it's the program. I think in college baseball, you got to build the program and they'll come. And that's what we've seen is success, where you go from, you know, making a regional to making a super regional final to winning a regional to then winning, you know, making a College World Series and doing those things. People, they see it and they respect it. And now you're on the cusp of making some renovations to Plainsman Park to take it to the next level. And it's much needed, long overdue. Still a great place to watch a baseball game, but the amenities and the things you need to take the program to the next level, those are now coming, especially when you bring a guy like John Cohen in as AD. I think it only adds to the baseball side of things for Auburn.
Yeah, that's a great call. It's actually something I hadn't necessarily put together, just the value of Coach Cohen being there as AD now, and the way that, you know, he just kind of understands what it takes at that level. And it's got to be a benefit to Butch and that staff to have someone like that in the big office.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at it and you know, John Cohen's a guy that, you look at facilities across the board at Mississippi State, what they did, not only building a brand new, you know, dude, obviously, but what they done it in football and off the field, some of the things they did in athletic facilities. That's a different place than it was 20 years ago. And now he's a guy that brings some of that vision. I think, again, we Auburn just built a brand new football facility that was in plans already, but now baseball, they had some thoughts on what they wanted to do. They come in and tweaked a lot and changed a lot based on John Cohen and Butch Thompson knowing what's needed in this league. And so I think that's something that's a big step forward, I think, is going to really help and benefit the program in the coming years.
I'll get you out of here on the one final question. We're going to look at the crystal ball a little bit. If this Auburn team gets to the postseason, ends up in a regional when it's all said and done, what are the things that you think are most important that have to happen between now and then?
Yeah, I think it's pitching. Obviously, you got to stay healthy. I think that's number one for pretty much everybody. You lose the wrong guy, and it maybe it's not as big of an issue for LSU with what they got going on, but. Even the wrong guy there makes a huge difference, a huge impact. So you got to stay healthy. But I think it's development on the mound. We saw it last year. Ole Miss was the last team in the field. They moved Dylan DeLucia to starting role. Freshman kind of finds his way a little bit. And all of a sudden, those two guys get hot, and it carries them to a national championship. Can you find a little bit of that? They got some pieces to do those things. Drew Nelson, a true freshman, pitched a 7-inning complete game, you know, Tuesday night. Could see him back on the weekend, you know, here sooner or later. Can you find those kind of pieces to get you that? That's the key. You got to find something like that sparks a little bit on the mound when you lose a guy like Jose Gonzalez.
And that's the beauty of the game, right? You get to the postseason in college baseball, you're about 10 wins away from winning it all. You know, it doesn't take all that much once you get there.
and that guy on the mound can control it all. We saw it last year from Ole Miss. That those guys controlled it when they were in the game, and when those guys pitched, they felt like they could beat anybody, and they did.
Yeah. Well, Jason, I appreciate you joining us. Auburn coming off a big win last weekend, and obviously with the team getting a little healthier as things go on here, certainly a lot to watch with the Tigers the rest of the season. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
That's going to do it for this episode of Highway to Hoover. You can follow Jason, as you can see if you're watching the video on your screen there, at ITATJason. Visit auburnundercover.com to read all of his fine work. I say it every time I have a guest on that, you know, local beat writers make my job a lot easier because they're doing on the ground reporting that's tougher for me to do from my home in North Carolina. So go head over to auburnundercover.com for all of his fine work. Thanks to Jason for joining me. Thanks to you for listening. We'll talk to y'all soon.